Lucky for you, it was not your sword-wielding hand that was lost.
Lucky indeed.
Joshua measured himself a pace and a half, then turned to face Elias.
On the other hand... that was a poor choice of words, wasn't it? My apologies. Alternately, it is unlucky that we must fence with these poor wooden oars.
He waggled the practice sword.
I do so enjoy watching you use... what do you call that thin blade of yours? Nidal. It is a pity you do not have it here.
Without warning, Elias leaped forward, swinging a hard backhand toward Joshua's head. The prince caught the blow, allowing it to slide by, then thrust forward. Elias trapped the oncoming lunge and deftly turned it aside. The two brothers backed apart, circling. Joshua leveled his sword before him, his thin face slick with sweat.
Yes. It is too bad that Nidal is not with me. It is also too bad that you do not have Brightnail.
The prince made a swift downward cut and slid into another looping thrust. The king backpedaled swiftly, then counterattacked.
Brightnail? What do you mean by that? You know that it is buried with our father.
He ducked an arching backhand and pushed Joshua back.
Oh, I know. But a king's sword, just like his kingdom, should be wisely and proudly... should be wisely and carefully used by his heir.
The two wooden blades slid together, hilts locked. Elias and Joshua's faces were merely inches apart, muscles bunched beneath the brothers' shirts. For a moment, they were nearly still. The only movement, a slight trembling as they strained against each other. Finally, Joshua, who could not grip his hilt with two hands as the king could, felt his blade begin to slide. With a supple shrug, he disengaged and sprang backward, lowering the blade before him again. As they faced each other across the expanse of grass, chests heaving, the bells of Green Angel Tower marked the noontide.
There you are, gentlemen.
Isgrimnir stepped in, a sickly smile on his face. There had been no mistaking the naked hatred that flowed between the two.